Run.
Welcome to the WCSR Mailbag. Hi, welcome, guys. I just got a few emails here that I wanted to get sorted out and send out some quick replies to. And I figured I might as well do it here online. So let's get on with it. I got a letter here from Todd, and he wants to know, how can you be a skeptic and yet still claim an interest in the subject? Well, I guess you could say that I'm more of a skeptic about what's called evidence rather than the possibility of the creature existing. You know, there's your reality and there's my reality. You may have seen one, but I haven't. Okay? So I can only go by the evidence provided. So I would say to some people, reveal to me the best evidence possible so that I can share in your experience. Nothing would make me happier than to know that the creature exists. Only good evidence. I'm not so much of a skeptic of the creature existing as I am about the evidence that's supplied that it does exist. And yeah, like I said, only good evidence will get us there. And okay, from Tony, why do you say that only a fool goes out into the woods looking for Sasquatch? Well, I wasn't the first one to say that. Renny DeHinden was. But I said it because what I mean by that is the idea that it is futile just to wander about the wilderness hoping to trip across evidence of Sasquatch, but rather find an area of interest with running water, shelter, you know, all the things that will attract an animal. And a Sasquatch or Bigfoot are just an animal, as far as I know. And yeah, water, shelter, and that's an area that will attract wildlife. So study the area. With luck, the creature may come to you. I've got an area that I'll be checking out come spring regularly. And we'll see what happens. I've known people who've had great success in doing that. You know, they've come up with footprints and enough to keep them going back there for more, put it that way. From Mike, what was Nikki like to interview? She has a great show. Nikki is warm and friendly. She has no time for fools. I know that much about her. I like the way she thinks. It takes a lot to impress her, and she has a knack for finding interesting subjects that her followers will want to hear about. The interview was a pure joy. I sprung Thomas Steenberg on her about 5 minutes into it. I said, I got a hold of Thomas and I said, hey, listen, I want you to jump in on this interview I'm doing with Nikki because she's your biggest fan, probably, in her own words. So he was happy to do so, and it was a fun interview. It was a fun time by all three of us. Yeah. Okay. Tommy Boy, what do you want, Tommy Boy? Tommy, who do you think may be coming on the podcast down the road? Okay, well, West Coast Sasquatch in the months to come will also be covering what's happening south of here. What's happening in Washington, Oregon, California. It all comes under the West Coast title. So, yeah, you know, we're going to be expanding outward. But I want to be flexible enough at the same time not to exclude my friends out in the East, too. So look for more stuff going on over that way as well. And so it should be fun for everybody. I've got high hopes, and I want to keep you guys entertained and coming back for certain. Okay, we have Sean. Sean wants to know, how do you go about collecting hair samples and castings? Well, I'm no expert on this, but as far as hair samples go, get yourself some aluminum foil to wrap the follicles in. This will keep the sun off the strands, which is very important. Then put the specimen wrapped in cellophane into a plastic bag. Now, put down the name, the date, the time, the place, and this is for your benefit, not the lab. They'll just assign a work order number to it, and the specimen is so to be impartial. They don't want to know where it came from or anything else. And that's it. Oh, yes, be prepared to spend a lot of money. Yeah. Plaster castings. Okay, I think the best way to go about this is use plaster of Paris. I know there's the hydrocal stuff out there on the market, but the plaster's cheaper and probably does just as good a job. It's a 2-to-1 ratio. Two times the plaster to every one water. So it's a 2-to-1 ratio. And it hardens fast, especially in cold weather. I would put down a more watery originally in the cast, and then a thicker layer on top of that to give it support and the rigidity of this, so the darn thing doesn't fall apart on you. And like I said, I'm no expert myself. There's lots of people out there who've done this in and out, upside down, right side up. And, they'll be able to set you straight step by step exactly how you should do it. And there's lots of videos on YouTube and what have you, you know. So, like I say, I'm no expert on that. Okay, Andrew says, I heard you say that Sasquatch is hard to find because they can sense your presence. Okay. Well, as much as any animal can sense your presence, some animals have sharper senses than others. Pit vipers, they detect heat. Arachnids, scorpions, and such, they detect vibrations. There are raptors who can see mouse urine a mile away, let alone the mouse itself. You know, eagles can see 8 times further than humans. That's because they have telescopic lenses in their eyes. Bears can detect dead animals up to 20 miles away. Now you figure that. They can detect a carcass 20 miles away. So, Sasquatch being on the same level, shall we say, as bears in the food system, I wonder what they're capable of smelling. Bears can smell better than any other animals on the planet. That's because their olfactory bulb region is 5 times larger than that of a human. So, by comparison, we're a pretty inadequate species. Thank God for brain capabilities of abstract thought. We can reason and adapt, and that's the only thing that keeps us alive in this world. If you know all of the, about these animals that are well known to you, you know about their sensibilities and their special powers. It's totally understandable why they're very good at avoiding humans. But, there might be a lot more to the story than that. I don't know. The evidence is still out on a lot of stuff. So we'll have to wait and see. Clayton, will you have Leon back again? Leon has become a force of nature. I want you to know that right now. You can no longer control his comings and goings. But he has an open invitation to drop by on this podcast anytime he wants. He's one of our fellow BC guys, and just for that alone, we have to love him. So, yeah, Leon, if you're watching this, come on by anytime, lad. There's a seat waiting for you. Okay. Bert, you and Bill and Thomas really work well together. Is this going to be a real thing? Well, it will be as long as they owe me money. Just kidding. I'm very fortunate to know these guys and to be able to call them my friends. Let's get that established. I agree with you that we do meld together better than any other crew in any podcast out there, as far as I'm concerned. I think they're open to things. As time allows, stick around and see. And I know you won't be disappointed if you do. So that was just a few letters from the mailbox I wanted to get out of the way and answer. And stay tuned for next week for the second part of Cryptos from Critters. It's going to be an interesting conversation. Okay, dear listener, that about wraps it up for now. My name is Jerry Matthews. You can reach me at yellowcoyote@talus.net. Thank you for your interest, and until the next time, keep searching.